fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. We'll be joined momentarily by Mark Bocek, Canadian UFC lightweight, who recently retired last week via Twitter. We'll also be joined by Gray Maynard, who's competing this Saturday night on Sportsnet 360 in Dana White's hometown of Bangor, Maine, as he'll take on Ross Pearson. We'll also hear from El Guapo, Boss Rutan, as well as Last Call, Danny Castillo, a little later on. All right, let's not waste any time to get to these guests. We'll kick things off right now with Mark Bocek, who's been in the headlines as we speak. Mr. Bocek, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, obviously, a little bit of shockwaves from your little tweet last week that you announced your retirement, but there's some reasoning behind it, so we'll kind of tackle that momentarily. But how are things today as the news, you know, came out last week? How are things right now?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. The only thing that's a little surprising to me is most people, not saying you, of course, just saying in general, most people want more interviews now than when I was fighting. And, you know, even any of these interviews, like, I just want people to know, like, I'm not trying to broadcast myself. I never even asked for them. People just asked me, hey, why are you leaving the sport? So I responded as to why. I never wanted to be like, hey, guys, look, this is why I'm leaving the sport. You know, it just kind of got, like, blown up. It is what it is. But, you know, I still stand by what I said.
Yeah, for anyone that knows you and knows myself and how long we've known each other, I mean, I've been one of those guys. We both know. We've been professing that Mark Bocek is not your average, we'll say like a Chael Sonnen sort of thing. Not a guy that's going to broadcast anything. He's just a real dude, a real guy. He's going to speak his mind, and sometimes people hear him, sometimes people don't. And like you said, it's blowing up out of proportion because so many other people want to hear from you now, which is sort of crazy. But it is what it is. Now, in terms of some of the comments that you made, something you and I had talked about, especially during the last time you and I worked together in person, was performance-enhancing drugs and both of our disdains for that type of situation in the sport, and it basically got to you.
It's just it was kind of enough was enough. Of course, it's never a pretty thing when you're dealing with the PEDs, and you know, obviously I get a lot of flack from it. Nobody wants to admit it or whatever, and you know, obviously I would never tie into anyone that was, you know, unproven or a friend or something like that. I'm just talking about drugs and sports. I'm not talking about teams or friends. And that goes way back to jiu-jitsu when there's no testing whatsoever, you know? So it's just a problem in the sport. And, you know, maybe that on its own wasn't enough to throw me out. But, you know, that with weight cutting and brain trauma, it just didn't make sense for me to do it anymore.
Now, most people think to themselves, wait a second, Mark Bocek's on a bit of a winning streak here. He won his last fight, but I saw you after that last fight. You and I spoke outside, and that was almost the second coming for me because I noticed it beforehand, and that was the night where I said, I don't know how much time Mark's going to have left in the sport. I looked in your eyes, and I said to myself, I think he's going to walk away soon despite this victory. But, you know, fighters after a fight have highs and lows. Victories or not, they have highs or lows. And when the news came out, I was questioned right away from the folks over at Sportsnet. Did you see this coming? I said, well, the writing was on the wall, in my opinion. I think Mark is making a wonderful decision because you did mention brain trauma. Enough's enough sometimes.
Maybe it wasn't, like, for some people, maybe it was a surprise, but maybe to some people around me, it wasn't so much just you know, just losing a little bit of motivation, you know. Any fighter will tell you, if you're not motivated in this, there's really no point to really go on. So, after I lost my motivation, and, you know, even after the last fight, it was a last minute change and everything, but, still a tough fight. I trained for a southpaw the whole camp, but, in the end, I just don't want to go home with black eyes and stitches, and you know, I don't want to do those hospital trips anymore, and I don't want to do it for another you know, just for another payday, you know, because for someone like me, it's not $300,000 like Hector Lombard just to step in there, you know, where that's like a life-changing amount of money. You know, for me, it's $30,000. So, you know, if I equate that to let's roll the dice and let's take another gamble with this, because we all know it's kind of 50-50, you know, I go in there again, I could potentially lose. It's 50-50, and given the type of matchups I get, I only get tough matchups, and I don't turn people down. So, you know, go in there again, risk potentially losing, then get cut, and then retire. I don't really want to exit with a really, really bad memory of the sport. And, you know, when I spoke to Lorenzo about it, he actually agreed with me wholeheartedly.
So you have had conversations with the folks over from the UFC, because many people were online saying, uh-oh, Mark Bocek's in trouble. And my response was, he doesn't care if he's in trouble, number one. But number two, I don't know if he has spoken with anyone from the UFC. So you have spoken to Lorenzo.
A few days ago, yeah. He rang me up to see what was going on, you know, because we had a bit of a relationship before this whole thing blew up, which was very nice of him. He never had to phone me, you know. He never had to contact me. It's not like we were always calling each other on the phone prior to that. So I appreciate that, you know. I appreciate that, but you know, I basically just told him I didn't want to end up like, you know, some of the legends in the sport did. Maybe just because I'm a little more realistic with my career than others, but you know, he didn't have to do that, and I appreciate that. So that was good.
Now, was he upset over some of the comments that you made, or you guys didn't even talk about that?
It's tough for me to say 100% to tell you the truth, because a lot of the PED comments surfaced the day after we spoke.
Okay.
So I don't know 100%, but what I do know is he did agree with me that there was a PED problem.
So you look at the situation right now. We saw what happened with Chael Sonnen. We saw what happened with Vitor Belfort. We're seeing what's happening with Wanderlei Silva. You and I both know the grappling circuit at times can be very, very questionable. The grassroots MMA scene at times can be extremely questionable. If you could make a statement, if you could change the way things are being run in mixed martial arts today, what would you do?
More random testing, but it comes with a price.
Yep.
That's the only thing. You know, people with more money, they'll always be a step ahead, but that's not everybody. That's just the people with the money. But then there's everybody else that falls into that category. And, you know, sometimes you can tell from a person, and sometimes you can't. You know, you look at Kim Sylvia and Josh Barnett, you can't really tell with those guys. The random testing helps. Unfortunately, it comes with the price, but I mean, it's like border security. You're not going to get everybody. It's impossible.
Fair enough. Where do you go from here?
I've always wanted to, you know, have some type of gym. I'll always kind of be involved with martial arts afterwards. Especially it's tough in this career because there's not a retirement like plan or pension set by UFC. You know, once you leave or you're done, unless you get a job with UFC, it's, you know, you're pretty much on your own. So all those years when everyone's getting degrees and we're fighting, in the end, there's not much left for us. You know, you see that, you know, one case is it's not going to be the case for BJ Penn because you're born into wealth. But then someone like Chris Lieben, who wasn't, and always, you know, always put it on the line every time he fought, rather than like even use strategy. He was a fans fighter, you know, a fighter's fighter. He'd always put it on the line, and you know, what did that get him?
How much of that has to do with the fan base versus what the UFC basically, not mandates, but sort of wants from fighters? Put on an exciting fight, we won't cut you. Technically, they won't cut you, but at the same time,
right. The
fans want action. The fans, because some of the fans, let's face it, Mark, you and I have talked about it so many times, they don't understand grappling. They don't understand the intricacies of the clinch against the cage. If you lose that underhook, you're getting an elbow to the teeth. It's one of those things.
Sure.
I mean, how much is it fan-related versus the UFC-related?
Yeah, the fan, maybe it's everything, you know, because without the fans, there's no sport. And what do fans want to see? They don't want to see grappling. They're against grappling. They don't want to see technical striking. They just want to see They don't want to see strategy being used. They want to see two guys stand in the middle and basically see who has the best chin. Basically, you know, ultimate chin championship. So it comes down to uneducated fans who, you know, who don't want to see grappling. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it might sound strange, but it's reality, and it is what it is. But in the end, call me crazy, most people don't want to see two people laying on top of each other. Most people just don't want to see that, and that's the reality of it. So that's why you're seeing grappling kind of slowly starting to get filtered out of MMA.
In conversation right now with Mark Bocek. Make sure you follow him online, because I'm sure this is not the end of Mark Bocek. We'll be seeing much more from him, especially on UFC Central, the TV side as well. Follow him at Mark Bocek on Twitter. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. Are you worried at all by some of the backlash that you may be getting from the likes of a guy like Dana White once he's put in front of the media in one of those scrums?
Yeah, I'm sure. I guess with some of the stuff I said, they're not going to be happy about it, unfortunately. But, you know, it's not something I could have went forward about before, because I would have just, you know, basically been cut, and I wasn't ready to do that. And I wasn't ready to leave on a loss, because I didn't want like a sour memory of the sport. So, everyone's different. Everyone has their opinion. You know, his, of course, you know, he has to promote and defend the company, which is, you know, I would do the same thing. Don't get me wrong, if it was my company. But, you know, as a fighter, though, I just kind of want to put my health first and enjoy the rest of my life and go out of this with a good memory.
Well, you had a fantastic career, in my opinion. And people ask me, you know, what's your most vivid memory of all these Canadian UFC fighters that you've known over the years? And mine is a 14-year-old Mark Bocek at the Grappling Arts Academy when I first met you. I had the pleasure of rolling with you. And, you know, I thought, this 14-year-old kid's not going to do nothing to me. Well, whatever. I learned my lesson too real quick. At some of the early days of the grappling tournaments with Moni Isaac, some super fights that I had. And those are the memories that I have. Seeing you get to the UFC was always, you know, whatever. Mark's going to get there no matter what. Fought for me in the grassroots. I'm very, very proud of you. But the one thing I know about you that I removed from my life, that you have yet to remove from your life, and I don't think you ever will, is you're a speed demon. Am I correct?
Yeah.
You like your bikes, yes, you like your cars. You are nuts. Is that going to be something you might pursue moving forward?
I would love to, Joe, and it's always something I've wanted to kind of even pursue as a youngster. There's just one problem with that. You need lots of money for that.
Yeah,
you know, anyone who is pretty successful in racing and made a fortune, a big fortune, pretty much started with the little one. So that's the problem with it. And there's politics in it and things people don't realize, just like anything else. And if you have money, it makes it a lot easier. But, you know, realistically speaking, you know, that's just more wishful thinking. Realistically, it's probably going to be more in the direction of a gym and you know, maybe potential some, you know, racing funding afterwards. But, you know, till then, it looks like it'll just be coaching.
Neither one of those three things surprised me, but make sure you iron out your shirt, get a suit and tie if you got it, because you're going to be on UFC Central next week, and we look forward to having you.
Can't wait, buddy.
All right, talk soon, my man.
Okay, take care, Joe.
There you have it, Mark Bocek. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Mark Bocek, and we'll go a little bit more in-depth in his thoughts and get Boss Rutan's, you know, synopsis and analysis on what Mark has said about the sport of mixed martial arts. But right now, we're going to move forward, because waiting on the line is the one and only, the bully, Gray Maynard. Mr. Maynard, how are you today?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good, man. So an interesting training camp, and seeing some of the pictures popped up with you and Ryan Bader. You guys are looking pretty jacked right now, looking pretty good. Fight's coming up. How you feeling?
I feel great, man. It's been a long camp. I've been down there. I've been down at there probably at the beginning of May. So, you know, it's been a long camp.
In terms of training with the guys over at Power MMA, how do you separate it? What's the difference between where you were previously to where you are right now?
Well, previously, there's just a lot of stuff going on in personal life. And the whole purpose was to go down to Power and just kind of get back to the each week train and just kind of be prepared for to be more prepared for my Dallas.
In terms of eat, sleep, train, I'm assuming there were differences in the past or difficulties in the past. It was a question I was going to ask you, obviously, with the certain patch that you're on right now and some of the lessons learned from the last bout. When you look at the Nate Diaz bout, the Clay Guida bout was a really awkward bout. Then there was the TJ Grant bout. What are some of the lessons you learned over the past few years that you never had beforehand?
Well, of course, it was a brand new area, and we just moved to a new area, and we didn't move close to AKA. It was about an hour drive, and then we obviously had a new baby in the picture, and then you buy a house, and then you got to gut the house, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the last 2 years. It was hard to keep going to the gym, the top priority, where it kind of has to be. And so, after the Nate Diaz bout, a lot of people close to me just kind of had to talk and we kind of came to the conclusion that I got to go old school now and just kind of go a little later to camp and just kind of have that time alone and be prepared for my bouts.
In conversation right now with Gray Maynard. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter at Gray Maynard. Gray is spelled G-R-A-Y. Gray Maynard. So I'm sure you're going to make me pay for that one the next time you're up in town, and you'll probably get Neil Forrester to get at me. But I'll be ready for that, Gray. Don't worry about it. Now, in terms of getting ready for Ross Pearson, you were originally supposed to face off against Fabricio Camos. Then there's a change in opponent, and in my opinion, they're kind of different guys. Was that difficult to accept, or was it something that you said, you know what? No, we got to do this.
Yeah, we got to do this. It was a long camp, and I'm just prepared for whoever it is. And we didn't, of course, there's the talk about the game plans and stuff. And I mean, you have to have a general game plan, but, you got to be able to kind of exploit the holes just kind of be prepared to do that in all areas.
Now, you mentioned, so I'm going to go back for 1 second. You mentioned the talk that you had with the coaches, the team, and the guys that were close to you. Was it a situation where you were looking at perhaps calling it a career or saying, no, we're not calling it a career. We need to iron out a few details here, move forward. Like you said, you're going to go old school, and enough is enough. We got to get back to where we're at.
I mean, it crossed my mind just because I hate to lose. I hate doing that. And it was just kind of too awkward, just kind of like, what happened there? And I think it was more of just kind of a kind of mental, just kind of mental lapses. And just not believing in just kind of how I prepared and if I was prepared to be in there and everybody kind of agreed, and we just kind of chose that, of course it's good, and we kind of understand now as just kind of boxers, they do that to fly to camps now, and you need that time to be prepared to train and to eat, sleep, and train, and just not have a lot of that stuff, that kind of happens, and just shouldn't be in the gym the whole time.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of prepping for this fight here, do you feel like your back is against the wall, or is it a reversal, like reverse psychology, where you say, no, this is more motivation for me to win. I'm going to get back into the top five and get ready for that title shot one day?
Yeah, I mean, as an athlete, as a person that's kind of, I've been doing this since I was three. And there's a lot of matches, you lost and you got pinned and you just have to go back and I've never felt like a person has, just kind of beat me, the whole time, where it's like, man, I couldn't do anything against that guy. Of course I got clipped but never felt as if that, that beat me. And so that just kind of adds to the drive to just kind of get back there, to prove to everyone the skills that I have and just prove to me that I can still be the best.
In conversation with Gray Maynard here, top 10 lightweight in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, memorable fights versus so many in the industry. But Gray, you are taking on Ross Pearson in Dana White's hometown. Any pressure there? You want a perfect fight in mind to show the prez and put a big smile on his face?
Yes, sir. Always. If the boss is happy, I'm happy.
What's your perfect fight, though? You got one?
No, it could go a lot of different ways. I like knockouts. However, three rounds, that'd be great, too. I've had a couple quick ones. Last two, so... It'd be cool to get back in there.
We want to thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. We know you got to get going. And like I said, I will be ready when I see you next time in person, because I'm sure you'll make me pay for what I said earlier on.
Yep. You got to drink a bunch of beer.
Have a good one, man. Say hi to the wife and the little ones.
Cool. I appreciate you, though.
There you have it, Gray Maynard. Make sure you check out his fight on Sportsnet 360 this Saturday as he takes on Ross Pearson. All right, coming up after the break, Boss Rutan and, of course, Danny Castillo. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe Ferraro. We're talking some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. And waiting on the line right now is one of the funniest guys, best guys in the sport of mixed martial arts, Danny Castillo, who's got a big fight next week in his hometown of Sacramento, California, taking on Tony Ferguson.
Mr. Castillo, how are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, but some interesting news in your world. First things first, a new four-fight deal with the UFC, if I'm correct?
Yeah, man. They like me for some reason or another, and they offer me another four-fight deal. Can't complain, man. I'm fighting my 19th fight with the company August 30th. So, tack on another four fights, and it just feels great, man. All the hard work is paying off.
Well, the hard work, and plus, dude, you're a lovable guy. You know it, I know it, we all know it. Everyone loves Danny Castillo, but the good thing as well is you're now the co-main event for that event in Sacramento. How cool is that?
Oh, man, it's a dream come true, man. It's something that you dream about as a kid. As a kid, I was in my backyard, in the ninth inning, bases juiced, down by three, hit a home run. This is similar to it, I'm in my hometown. They just bumped me to co-main event. You know, I'm coming off a big knockout win. It's my time. It's my opportunity to seize the moment. And this is what I've worked so hard for. And I can't really put words to it. Like I said, it's a dream come true.
And your boy, TJ Dillashaw, is defending his bantamweight title that evening against Hayden Barrow in an exceptional rematch. How's he doing?
He's doing great, man. We're peaking at the same time. He felt great during sparring today, and it's going to be a great night for Sacramento. It's going to be a great night for Team Alpha Male, and, 17 days away.
And if I'm not mistaken, I better start calling you guys ninjas, or Dwayne Ludwig will be coming after me. How's Dwayne doing, and how's he been helping you guys out with this camp?
Dwayne's the best coach in the world. Plain and simple. He, as you can see, he's taken a group of athletes and made them, exceptionally better. I mean, we were great athletes to start with. With his addition to the team, things have changed significantly, and there's a different level of confidence. We have a belt in the gym, and everyone's continued to improve. And that's not the only belt we're going to get. Chad's got the next title shot, and but by the time it's all said and done, we could possibly hold every belt from 25 to 55.
That would be absolutely fantastic, especially for that gym. You guys have put in so much work and so much time over the years. It's definitely well-deserved. Now, in terms of putting in that time, you put some time in for that Charlie Brenneman camp, and it showed off with a victory in the second round. Despite it being a victory, though, what are some of the lessons learned from that bout?
I just got to be first every time. Because I'm a better fighter when I'm aggressive. I'm a better fighter when I'm coming forward. So, I just got to learn from that. It was a great knockout for me, and it did a lot for my career. I got a lot of variety from the fight, but it wasn't the best fight I've ever fought. It's the best punch I've ever thrown, but it's not the best fight I ever fought. The first round was really close, back and forth. I gave up a takedown. I learned from that, and moving forward, I'm just going to be first. I'm going to come forward, and I'm going to try to end the fight in the first round.
Up next, Tony Ferguson in a couple of weeks, or like you said, 17 days from now. What is your scouting report on him? And when I say scouting report, I mean before you signed on to compete with him, you probably had a certain opinion of him. Now you've had to train for him. What's your scouting report on him?
Scouting report, he's real rangy. He's tall, he's lanky, he's got some power in his hands. His wrestling is decent. He's got a solid ground game. He's a purple belt, 10th Planet Jiu Jitsu. He's got a win over a solid bet, Eve Edwards. We have a similar opponent, and that's Michael Johnson. We both lost to him. I lost by knockout, unfortunately, and he lost by decision. Going into that, right before the knockout time, the first round, it could have been a 10-8. I put him on his butt. I had him in, an arm triangle, and I was close to finishing the fight, and I wasn't able to finish the fight, and that was the lesson learned for me. I got to be more patient when I have those submissions or I'm in a dominant position like that. And so that doesn't happen again.
Now, final question before we let you go. Hollywood script. What is the perfect fight for Danny Castillo against Tony Ferguson just a couple of weeks away?
Perfect fight is me coming forward, keeping him guessing, changing levels, and dropping that right hand on him. I'm working with Dwayne. I can go southpaw now, so dropping that big left hand overhand on the left side now. So. I've got some new tools in the bag, and I can't wait to use them.
I am less than 2 weeks from landing in Sacramento. I cannot wait to see you and all the boys over at Team Alpha Male. Looking forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
There you have it, Danny Castillo, and now we move forward for the first time ever on UFC Central, and I don't know why, because I've known this gentleman for a very long time. He is considered what I consider mixed martial arts royalty, El Guapo Boss Rutten. Mr. Boss Rutten, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Sunny California, driving to a new appointment for my neck. See what that's going to bring.
Well, how is that going right now?
You know, it's still it's going very slow. The problem is I have a fusion in my neck, but I also have arthritis. So the bones are growing, and then they start pushing against the nerves again. So we're thinking about disc replacements now, see if that's going to do something.
My goodness, my goodness. Well, the reason why we have you on the show today is obviously some wonderful news that you'll be making a trip north of the border in honor of someone that you and I knew very, very well, Sean Tompkins, the Memorial Sean Tompkins golf tournament put on by Joe Botnick. We're very excited. How excited are you to come back up here?
Yeah, very, very excited. You know, it's bittersweet. You know, the first time I went there was I was his best man, and then, you know, we had to go there for the funeral, and now it's, you know, okay, everybody's used to it, but it's still, you know, it's still a big loss. So, but I think it's going to be great to see all these guys there and everybody having fun, you know, and that's what Sean wanted anyway, everybody to have fun. I guarantee you at the funeral, he said, come on, let's play some happy music here. let's not sit down, let's party. That was just the guy he was, always there for everybody, and a happy guy.
Absolutely. And he was one of your best students as well. Another one I can think about is Dwayne Ludwig. Do they share any similarities?
Yes, they really do. And I actually was talking to Dwayne about that less than a week ago. I saw him. He was visiting from L.A., so we had dinner with the family and his wife. And, I told him, yeah, okay, like the party scene, Dwayne doesn't do that. You know, Sean, that was all us, so to say. But the way they're fully committed to their fighters, and that's very similar. You know, they, like Sean, for instance, we could go out partying, and we could be home at, let's say, 5 o'clock in the morning. If he needed to be there at 7 in the sauna with his fighters, he would be there. He would never miss a beat, ever. He was always there 24/7 for all his fighters. And actually, he did it for every person. You know, he's just the kind of guy. And Dwayne has the same thing, the same drive. That's why Dwayne is also excelling in as a coach, because he's always there. He's with these guys nonstop, and he puts his heart and soul in. So, yeah, very similar in that area.
In conversation right now with Boss Rutan. I know the word mixed martial arts royalty is thrown around all the time, but Boss Rutan is definitely mixed martial arts royalty. Follow him online via Twitter at Bass Rutan MMA. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. In terms of Sean Tompkins and this golf tournament, do you golf at all, Boss?
You know, I did not. I played one time golf, and it was on a 13-hole track, so it wasn't a big one. But I blew everybody by. I had 4 pars. So everybody was like, no way. So since that moment, I never did it again because I thought it was beginner's luck and will never happen again to me. So that guy just taught me. Plus, you know, I'm just a very, very busy guy. Just to cut 2.5 hours out of my day, it's a very hard thing for me to do.
Will you hit the links at all, though, when you come up? Or is it just going to be one of those things where you're around and talking to people and sort of networking? And
oh, no. I'm going to hit. Now I want to see. This is like coming from above to see if I can, you know, if I can do 4 pars on an 18 hole, that would be already unbelievable. So, and hopefully I can do one more. But you see, now I start pushing it. When you come in there and you have beginner's luck, then everything works. But once you start focusing on it, it's a hard game, man. It's such a hard game to play.
Well, you're telling me I golfed this past weekend, and I didn't get 1 par. I kept getting bogey after bogey after bogey. If Boss Rutan comes to my territory and starts getting pars, I might lose my mind, sir.
You know what? That's maybe it's my next career. You never know. Maybe I can make some money and beat all these pros nowadays up.
All right,
let's
talk a bit more about your career. Now, in terms of what you're doing, you're a busy guy, like you said. It's very difficult to even allocate 2 hours to do anything, from whether it's Hollywood to doing mixed martial arts commentary. What is a week in the life of Boss Rutan like?
Oh, you know, let's say for the last 3 months, I've been, you know, 2 months in Las Vegas pretty much, the whole time to shoot Mall Cop 2 with Kevin James. You know, and then I came home for like a week and a half. In between, by the way, I do a lot of other stuff. I had like a graduation speech I had to do for my kid, and then I have to be at a dinner that we planned way ahead. And, you know, so I have to drive back from Vegas up and down to do those things. And then I was here. I have to try to catch up with everything because, you know, I invented that O2 trainer, you know, the lung training device, and I want to put some more work in there, but I simply didn't have the time. So now I wanted to put more work in there. Then it called me for another movie. An indie movie. It was just going to be a 2-week shoot in Idaho. I just finished that last week. And in between, I tried to travel all the way back and forth to still do Inside MMA on every Friday. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm teaching at the gym. You know, now when I'm home, I will start teaching on Sunday mornings the fight class also again. Then I got the family. I have the family, of course. You know, and I'm rehabbing. I'm trying to rehab my arm and my shoulder and see if that still works. But then in between, everything comes in. I got interviews. I got, you know, meetings. There's people who auditions. You know, it's just a crazy thing. It's one of those things you can't plan. Because I cannot say, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to do this and this, because that's all. I got to go to a doctor, and I got to do a nerve conducting test, and then I got to go to do rehab. And, you know, so it's constantly keeping me busy.
So there's a lot. It seems like there's a lot of passion in your life in terms of what you want to do and where you want to go. But what drives, what motivates Bas Rutten?
Just life in general. You know, I just really enjoy life. I recently started also now going early to the beach, like being at 8 a.m. and just swim for half an hour, 45 minutes, you know, and soak up the energy of the ocean. I think I have a good connection with that. I always felt really good. I did that also when I was fighting. I tried to put the connection together to go to a, they always say in the fight, you know, go to a happy place, you know, if you're really beat up. Now, thankfully, it never happened to me, but Paul, actually, against Randleman, I was pretty beat up. But, you know, I always thought, okay, well, imagine it's going to happen. What kind of place am I going to? They can easily say to you, oh, you want to go to a happy place? Well, what the hell are you meeting, right? So I created one at the ocean, you know, and you do it very early in the morning with the sun coming up and over this ocean, and you make a really fun place for you. And that actually you can use also in training or in stretching even, you know, when you're really tired and everything hurts a lot, you know, and then in your mind you just go to that spot, and that takes you a little bit away from all the soreness and the pain that you have right now. So I started doing that, and that makes me feel really good as well. But the only thing still is my arm. Listen, I used to do 9 1-arm pull-ups. And then if you go from that to training now with 12.5-pound dumbbells, you know, biceps, then that's pretty disturbing. And a year ago, I was at 5 pounds. So I gained 7.5 pounds over a complete year. You see, so it's going very slow, but at least it's an upgoing curve, not a downgoing.
Well, we definitely hope your health does get better. But as we get older, things happen to our bodies and also to our minds, and we start looking and reflecting on certain things. I know maybe 10 years ago, if I saw, you know, John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier into a brawl as they were just simply looking eye to eye promoting their fight, I would have probably been smiling ear to ear. But as a parent now, I look and I think to myself, man, Daniel Cormier's kids were there, or one of his sons was there and saw that. When you saw something like that, what goes through your mind now?
You know, I thought it was just, you know, to start making contact with the person. I don't think you should do that. I think Cormier had a positive reaction. I'm pretty sure that if he would have done it to Jones, Jones would have done it to him. It's a thing you don't do, especially fighters, you know. But, you know, you see it with every athlete. You see it everywhere. So it's not only that. You see it in boxing art. It's good for the pay-per-view numbers. Thankfully, no other punches landed. It was just a little pushing and shoving around. But, you know, later, of course, when they start talking, like when you saw that other clip that came out, you know, that how you say, uncensored, so to say, that somebody released the ESPN behind-the-scenes. But then I go, like, wow. You know, and we talked to Cormier on Inside MMA last Friday, and he said, yeah, he says, now, from the shooting, I don't feel really that super bad, of course. If I could take it back, I'd take it back. He says, but that's my reaction. That's what I would do. But, you know, when the other clip came out with the language, he says, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. You know, I don't use language like that. And suddenly I use language like that. You know, that's what happens. People get inside people's heads and they get angry. And then, yeah, the crazy words come out of us.
And speaking of crazy words, Mark Bocek, recently retired Canadian UFC lightweight, has caused a bit of a controversy with some, well, not really a controversy when you think about it, but speaking aloud about mixed martial arts and performance-enhancing drugs, he is stirring the pot a little bit. He did get a phone call from Lorenzo Fertitta, but not in that manner, just to talk and to sort of smooth things over. Performance-enhancing drugs in mixed martial arts is something that's been there for quite some time. I think there is a change coming, but it seems to be very, very slow. What is your thoughts on the sport in general with PEDs?
I think it should be, they shouldn't give you a warning. They should just kick you out right away. You know, but maybe not as hard, maybe as I say right now, but they take a year away. You can't compete for a year anywhere. You know, all the athletic commissions work together. Nobody's going to compete for a year. Take his payday away. That's it. And people who say, but it wasn't a product that somebody gave to you. Your fault. That's your fault. That's the same as when you, these idiots who go to a fight, and so many times had it, and they had food poisoning on the day of the fight. Because they decided the day before to go to some shady sushi place or whatever they went to, you know, and take that risk of have a 2-month training camp, and then you throw it all away because you want to eat somewhere cheap or whatever, you know. Bring your own food. That's what I used to do in Japan. That is all on you. Everything that you take in your body is on you, you know, unfortunately. And if you really trust your trainers and everything and they give it to you, still, it's on you, you know. So if you just make sure that's not it, you don't need it. In my whole fighting career, I never needed it. I never did it. Like, listen, when I was... 3 years ago, yes, I started experimenting because they've been telling me a long time already, oh, you got to use Decathlon in for your knees. So I tried things here and there, but that was way after my career. I didn't do it during my career at all, zero. And I fought at a pretty late age. I started at 28. So if I don't need it, it's very simple. Other people don't need it. And it's all an excuse what they use is, yeah, but he's probably on it. And because he's on it, and, you know, nobody knows 100% certain if they're on it, but, you know, it's so easy to say they are on it so I can do it. The same as weight cutting. Oh, this guy cuts way more weight than I do, and that's why he's strong. And know that if you start cutting lots of weight, you get weaker. People don't get those things. You know, fight when your body is happy. Make your own body happy. And what if? What if you become a world champion? You know, and you have to look in the mirror at yourself when you're brushing your teeth, I always say. And then, how did you get that title? And then they say, were you using any PEDs? Yeah, I was using PEDs, but you know what? So was my opponent. You see, every time there's an excuse again, it's the people who throw things out of their windows because everybody's doing it anyway. You know, it's stupid, and it's not needed. And if you really need it because something is wrong, maybe you should look for a different profession.
Truer words have never been spoken on this radio show. My goodness. Thank you very much, boss. Before we let you go, final question. And like I said, cannot wait to see you in a couple of weeks just west of London, Ontario, for the Sean Tompkins Memorial Tournament. But my head's thinking, because I'm going to be speaking to Dwayne very, very soon. If he comes to you and says, look, TJ has already defeated Hayden Burrell in absolutely dominant and dramatic fashion. Now we have this rematch. What do we do? What advice would you give to Dwayne? Do you do the same thing? Do you modify? What do you do?
No, that's Dwayne. There's going to be modifications because he knows that Burrell now is, of course, he's going to study everything. I guarantee you he switched all the combinations up. You know, the switching, like if he switched to, for instance, a southpaw stance, suddenly he came with a big left. He switched to a normal orthodox stance, big right. I don't believe he's going to do that again. You know, these are things that the trainer from Burrell is going to really look at, and Pedernales is a really good trainer, and he's going to break that whole fight down, and he's going to hope that he's going to do the same things, but he's not going to do that. You know, just the great thing with DJ, he has been blossoming. He's listening to Dwayne and soaking it in and using what he says. That makes him good. That's why you see all the guys getting so good so fast. And the ones that don't do, they're probably not listening, I always say. You know, but if you really listen to it, and it's constantly is a change. Now, in the early days, for instance, when I would fight a guy, they would say to me, do you watch tape on the guy? I say, yeah, I watch tape on the guy, but I don't watch his latest fights. I won't watch one, but I'll go back 10 fights, and I pick out what he did in the first fight. And if he did that in the second and then the third and then in the last fight, That's a sure shot guarantee that he's going to do it now in this fight. And I capitalize on that. All the latest things like a spinning back kick and something like that, I would never pay attention to. You see, with George St. Pierre was game planning the same thing. Every fight he would come in, with Koscheck, for instance, it was the jab, working the jab, and a spinning and kick to the body, you know, and a back kick to the body. You see, and then another other fight, he has two or three other tools that he's using a lot. But every time he switches it up, and I think that's when he's going to do the same thing, because he knows Pedernales is a good coach, and he will break it down.
Great fight. I can't wait for that one to go down. That's about a week later after the Sean Tompkins tournament, so I can't wait to go down and cover that on behalf of Sportsnet. Boss, thank you very much for your time. I know you're a busy guy. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
All right, my friend. Sounds good. Godspeed.
There you have it, Boss Rutan. Thank you very much to Boss. Thank you to Danny Castillo, Gray Maynard, and Mark Bochick. And thank you to you, the listeners. We've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Let's fight.